It's Tom Elliott here, and this is the first official episode of the Oh My Days Academy. I hope you're doing well and enjoying this isolation. You won't be enjoying it for long. Well, unless you're an introvert or ventriloquist or something, I don't know, but maybe it's ideal. But there we go. Well, this episode of the Oh My Days podcast is going to be a great one. I've actually done a bit of rearrangement now that this is pretty much my full-time job for the next few months. I've done a bit of rearranging of the episodes to try and be of most help in the current climate that we find ourselves and the crisis that this country and other countries are working through. So hopefully the first few episodes will be most helpful. I'm going to kick off with an interview that I did just a couple of weeks ago, actually. His name is Simon Jarvis, and he is the pastor, the senior pastor of a network of churches. Now, if you're not spiritual, if you're not religious, don't turn off thinking it's not relevant. Simon speaks in a very relevant way. And as with all the kind of spiritually themed episodes on this podcast, which isn't all of them, but some of them, as with all of them, I've tried to pick people who can share something that is of value to you, whether you believe or don't believe, or think you believe, or not sure what you believe, whatever. Hopefully all of the spiritual episodes, as well as every other episode, will be of help to you, regardless of what you believe at the moment. So, yes, dude, this is a brilliant episode. The reason I picked Simon and the reason I want to start with him, really, is because the strap line for One Church, which is actually a network of churches, the strap line for One Church is growing you to live big. And that's what this podcast is about, isn't it, friends? It's about living well, living life in its fullness, living big, whatever you want to describe it. And Simon was the ideal candidate to kick us off for this. So here we go. Enjoy this episode on your own or with others that shouldn't be with you of Simon Jarvis.
Hello, my name's Simon Jarvis. I am the senior leader of One Church, and that's a network of churches in Gloucester, Bristol, and Zimbabwe. And I'm married to Ali. I have two adult children, Jack and Abby, and I am in a good place in my life because I live to grow people to live big.
Simon, tell us a bit, where did this journey of and this idea of living big, where did that come from?
I think these things emerge in your life rather than you wake up going, I grow people to live big. I think you explore the avenues and the themes of your life. I'm very fortunate that the job I work in is what I'm born to do. So when you have the ability to create your own job description, you start to realize that you start to follow the themes of your life. And one of the themes of my life is I can't help it. I cannot help myself. Whenever I have a conversation with someone, I can't stop myself encouraging them, coaching them, believing in them, investing in them. And it's almost like I'm totally wired that way. So it is my vocation, my calling, my talents, my whatever you want to do is all wired to this concept of growing people to live big.
I love that, because even on your emails and on anything that you communicate, you finish with a kind of live big,
yeah.
Simon.
Yeah.
And I love that. So has that always been for you? Were your parents similar in that kind of encouraging you to live big? And has it always been the case?
No, far from it. I think, as I said, these things emerge inside of you. I think there are seeds inside of you that are undiscovered. And it's not until you create the right fertile soil for them to come through. In fact, I was known for being a worrier.
I would
worry about everything as a child. I'd worry about the future. I'd worry to run out of petrol. If my parents would say, oh, I think we're a bit low on petrol, I'd find myself like, oh, we're going to get stranded in the middle of nowhere. And so if I heard anything at all, if you want, my natural state of mind is one to worry. Coming to terms with that, and I think the big change in that is to do with my faith, transformed my thinking, that I don't have to live in a state of worry. There's a bigger purpose for me to play. And it's okay to be afraid. it's all right to be fearful. Fearful's not a bad thing. It stops you falling off cliffs, for example.
Yeah.
Right. But you're allowed to do things afraid. And once I got that into my head, that I'm allowed to be afraid, it changed my perspective completely.
So that's really interesting. So we'll explore that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But is fear part of living big? Is that what it is?
Fear's real. Right, fear is part of our everyday life. It's whether fear is our driver,
yeah,
or our indicator. So, you know, fear can be your red line, as in when you're driving, ooh, I'm over-revering this, or it can be, oh, we can't do this, handbrake up, brake and stop. Fear should never stop you doing something. Fear should, you can harness your fear to help you to live big.
Fascinating. Let's just go back a step. What then do you think people nowadays, generally culture, do you think people are living small? That's not to be kind of insulting to anyone, but do you think people are lacking this vision for living big?
Yeah, I don't think the opposite of big is small, right, in life. I think the opposite of big is safe.
Yes, okay. Yeah, better.
I think people live safe. I think the world says, look, as long as you're paying your mortgage, at least you've got a job, you know, as long as you've kind of like got your relationships all sorted out, and without realizing it, we're putting our markers down and we put these boundaries in our lives that to create safety. Now don't take the opposite of that and saying, oh, we should live unsafe. I think sometimes we just have to explore the boundaries of the lives, either the lives we've been given, and we inherit the lives, our genealogy and the way we grew up, or we start to explore the opportunities. I think people who have more difficult upbringings will either blame that to play safe or use it as a diving board to go forward. Let me give you an example. There was a man who... a father who had two children, and he was an alcoholic, and he would physically abuse his two children when he had drink inside of him. As those two boys grew up, one became an alcoholic father who abused his children. The other one said, "I'm never going to touch alcohol again in my life," and became a really great father. Now, when you interviewed those two boys, they both said the same thing. What do you expect with a father like mine?
Wow, okay.
So it helps us understand there's a choice that we make with the combination of gifts that we've got in our life. And we can either use our past to spur us forward or we use our past to play safe.
Yeah, it's interesting because I guess our natural response is to play it safe. When was the trigger point for you? When was the point at which you thought, I'm no longer going to play it safe, I'm going to choose to live big?
Yeah, there's some gear shifts in my life. In my late teens, I started to realise I had a reasonable sense of humour and I could make people laugh. But that masked my fear.
Okay.
Right. So I used humour to mask my fear. And really, I was paddling around in the shallow end, had a safe job, had a safe career, everything. For the next few years of my life, everything was geared like every other person who lives in London who goes into the centre of London to have a job.
Yeah.
And then there was a sense of calling in my life, a sense of vocation, a sense of I was born for something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why people end up on X Factor and things like that. They have this calling. But the X Factor is trying to shortcut a process. But in reality, you've just got to start building with the ingredients you've got. And I'm a big believer, follow the dream, the vocation is in your heart, even if you have to do it for free, because eventually someone will pay you.
And I guess part of living big is not being driven by kind of material things like money, but it's the passion and the vision within inside
exactly,
of you.
Exactly. So this started to grow in my late teens into my 20s, and I became very, very focused. I started to say yes a lot more than I said no. I started to say, I have a philosophy. If you've thought through the process and you've got two options and they're both good, go for the one that's going to tell the best story at the end of it. Because even if you fail, you're going to have a great story.
You've got a story,
right? Yeah, that's right. The one that gives a little bit more adventure to it. And I started to follow that philosophy in my early 20s, around about 19, 20, 21. Started to get focused and serious on life around about that age.
Great. So you mentioned earlier, you're a pastor of, uh-huh. of a church here in Gloucester.
Yeah.
And your kind of strap line or vision statement, whatever you want to call it for the church, is growing you to live big.
Correct.
How would you unpack that for people in your church, but how would you unpack that for listeners as well?
If we were to unpack that for people in our church, we would talk about people going on a discipleship process. This is not a one-size-fits-all, but in church life, right, we really want people to encounter God, right? Because that's the secret source.
Yeah.
That is definitely the secret source for me. And this is not about turning up in a church and sitting in rows and singing a few songs. This is a true encounter with the living God. And I can't replicate that. I can't try and make you do that. You either encounter or you don't.
Yeah.
You either fall in love or you haven't fallen in love. If you haven't fallen in love, you have no idea what I'm talking about. In the same way, if you haven't encountered God, it's just something dry and religious to you. The second aspect is taking responsibility to grow. And the third aspect is going to make a difference. But all those are platforms of my individual secret source in life. So although we do that corporately as a church, it's based on my secret path for myself. So an encounter with God helps you understand there's something much bigger to live for than your best plans in your life. The second thing is to take responsibility for your own growth, right? Don't expect stuff to happen to you and you have an amazing experience. Like, we're not part of the matrix where something's downloaded into the back of our head and suddenly we can do amazing things. Like, you have to work hard to fulfill your dreams, or dreams need overalls.
Yeah.
You've got to put your work clothes on to fulfill your dreams. It's not going to happen otherwise. And the third thing is live for something bigger than yourself. So if you go and make a difference, it's not just about growing yourself personally. It's about going to make a difference for the world around you. So adding value to the person around you. And this is, as you asked me right at the start, this is my modus operandi. I'm sitting opposite you, Tom, and I'm telling you this story here. And I'm hoping that my words inspire you, that you're sitting here and I'm looking in your eye going, I'm hoping, I can't help it. It's just like flowing out of me. I want you to get excited about life and your possibility and the stuff you're doing. And you're doing a great thing, Tom. Here I go. I can't stop myself.
You're
here
just
I
in go it. Right you're now. On.
Keep following your dream, right? But it's not going to be easy. You just got to work hard at those things. So knowing that you live for something bigger than yourself means that every person you meet, whether it's on the bus, in the street, at your workplace, that I believe that those are divine appointments. And so I'm looking for the opportunity to help, encourage, build, inspire the person I'm sitting next to on the plane, or whether the person I work with in my office.
So how much, Simon, is it about the process of getting there, and how much is it about kind of the destination of this is my goal and this is what I'm called to, this is what I feel? How much is it about the end goal and how much is it about the kind of journey there?
Yeah, I think it's all about, the answer is yes to both of those.
Yeah.
I think it's really, vision is a really difficult product. Because what you're doing is vision. Growing to live big is my mission.
Yeah. Right?
That's what I do every day, just to help you. Then people say, what's your vision? You say, all you can do is stare as far as you can onto the horizon and try and describe what you see. And you say, I can see sails. And then you surmise, it's got to be a boat. You know, there's got to be a boat that's going to take us to a greater horizon and it's going to be amazing. And you try and describe the horizon. But of course, as you get closer to that horizon, the horizon keeps moving.
Of course, yeah.
But the vision keeps changing. And what you thought was the end game is now just
the
halfway.
Beginning. Yeah,
it's the beginning. Great. And of course, what you thought was a sail of a boat was a wigwam. And you've just got to go, well, I wasn't expecting that, but this is now helping me understand my future. So I think you sail towards the horizon because that's your vision. Think in terms of compass direction rather than specifics. Because once you get there, it's always different to what you expected. And once you get there, there's more to happen.
More to come. Yeah, why?
And yeah, and I'm a big believer that I think God hides things. Because if we knew exactly what we were sailing to, we would probably quit.
Be overwhelmed.
And yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So, no, I love that. What, obviously, we're both here, but I would say both of us are kind of visionary people. We're big dreamers, big thinkers. But I recognise, because I know people like this, that aren't quite there, that wouldn't say that they struggle to have a big picture vision for their own life. Or so what would you say, well, first of all, have you experienced these people and engaged with this process and idea of living big? And what's that journey been like for them? And what would you say to people that are in that space?
Yeah, I think this is a bit of a myth, this thinking, because big is is relative.
Yeah.
All right. When I was talking to my son last night, and we were telling stories about how he got into the sea in Spain on a holiday when he was 5 years old, and he said, "Oh, Dad, the waves are massive," as if he was surfing in Hawaii. And no, the waves barely got as high as my waist. But of course, to a 5 year old, he just said, "I just got pummeled all the time. It scared the life out of me." And I thought, big is a relative thing, right? I think big is believing there's more than you've got and stepping into the next phase of your future, if afraid or not. And the definition of that big is what you make it, not what I make it. And we shouldn't compare each other. Right? Each of us has to step into the world that and our sense of destiny and purpose and accept our responsibility. There's a great story about responsibilities that weren't handed out evenly. There was a talent given to one man, two was given to another, and five to another. To each of them, they were all a big deal.
Yeah.
It's how they responded to the bigness of the challenge that was the product of the story.
That's amazing. And we should just clarify, as we said at the beginning, that the big, as you said, it can't be defined by you or is individual, and that also means that I guess big doesn't mean fame, big doesn't mean money, big doesn't mean success in work, but it could mean something very, very different to
totally.
That. But it would be easy to believe in this culture, I guess, that's what it is. But big could mean a whole load of different things. How can we be intentional about living big?
I think if you're going to be intentional, there's so many personality studies and stuff you can do online and figure out about yourself. I think these things are very helpful. One of the best ones I know is called Strength Finder. That massively helped me about 15 years ago, maybe more now, but a long time ago.
You're only 25, Simon, right?
Yeah, that's right. What it did is it helped me define the things I was good at and focus on those. And so it helped me work out what to say no to as I matured in my gift, as I matured in my personality, as I matured as an adult. I started to work out where I added the most value and where I didn't add the most value. And that helped me to deselect as much select the options that I was taking for the future.
Well, friends, if you're enjoying this episode, then I'd encourage you to join the Insiders Club, where you can access extra content from the interviews, downloadable PDF templates, and join the Insiders Club online community, all of which will help you to implement the wisdom found in these incredible interviews. Now, it's just £3 a month, and you can sign up today at allmydaysacademy.com. So, Simon, you talk about making a difference in the world as being one of the key concepts and ideas of living big. Why do you think that is? What difference does that make?
I think, firstly, it makes my world bigger. I feel good when I help someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether I've helped a neighbour out, a neighbour came around my house last night and I just helped them out. Yeah, it took me 20 minutes. But it's the conversation around that helping that they clearly wanted to talk to me. And I was very happy to talk to them as well. or whether you just, you know, with those emergency situations where I was going up the stairs when I was in London and a lady was trying to get her buggy up the stairs and she was clearly struggling. I just went, can I help? And she looked at me as if I was totally weird. and she said, yes, please. And the two of us carried a buggy up the stairs to the top. And I felt good.
Yeah, and we're seeing a shift in that, in like generally culture and society now. We're seeing a shift of like people just wanting to do good with the whole kind of climate change thing, mm-hmm. with all this stuff going on. People are kind of rallying together in large groups to go and make a difference and stand up for something. And I guess that's all part of that drive to live bigger and make a difference in someone else's life.
Yeah, I think if there is things get politicized very quickly, mm-hmm. and you once things get politicized, you can lose the raison d'être, the Ooh, reason nice. Why you're doing it, because it gets confused with a lot of other issues.
Yeah.
But if you can keep the focus pure. And keep it focused. Just simply choosing to add value to someone's life every single day is brilliant. By joining with other people to do something, you know, adding value, really just lifts the temperature and the feel-good factor of the people that you live with.
Simon, you obviously, we've already referred to this, you're a pastor, and one of the things you also do is you've spoken in some kind of colleges and universities and places.
Yes.
And you've unpacked, in that setting, you've unpacked some words of Jesus that said that he grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. Mm-hmm. Can you, not all of our listeners will have a faith or believe, mm-hmm. but can you unpack that a little bit for us here on the podcast?
Yeah. One thing you can't doubt about Jesus, he was a good man who did some good stuff. And that's the very basic that we, historically, we all have to agree that he went about doing good. Not many people disagree with that as a disclaimer.
Yeah.
What can we learn from a good man who did good? And it says that he grew. In other words, he was intentional in his personal development to grow, and there was four areas that they were growing. Now, if we translate that into modern language, we can call that education, physical well-being, spiritual relationships, and relationships with others.
Mm.
And the concept is really easy. Choose, if you grow in those four areas, and just set a simple goal in those four areas. And you, every year, you just say, I'm just going to grow in those four areas. I promise you, you'll be an outstanding person in a very short space of time. So, for example, to grow educationally, like we all have to do this stuff. If you want to take a driving test, you have to take the test.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to educate yourself to pass the test. And the older you get, the less you're inclined to have this continuous development. But if you choose to keep educating yourself, learning new stuff, you will grow. Simple. Books, courses, university, there's all sorts of options available. When it comes to our physical well-being, we need to look after ourselves a lot better than in the past. Mm. It just seemed everything was all right before, but there's so many other ingredients added to our lifestyle today that we don't tend to look after ourselves so much. So we need to be more intentional with that. Just be careful what we eat. Maybe walk instead of like driving occasionally. Just little goals, little steps, and you can look after yourself a little bit more physically. Then you have spiritual. This is not about tree hugging. This is not like about, you know, going to a church 24/7. I'm not talking about radical changes. I'm talking about learning to put God first in your life. I'm learning just to say a simple prayer each day, learning to accept that you are part of something much bigger. Who holds this universe together? Accepting that you're part of something bigger and just saying a simple prayer, saying, would you help me today, God, to go and make a difference? That's a simple goal that you could grow in. There's lots of stuff I could teach you about that,
yeah,
but there's
course.
A simple step. And another simple goal you could go into in terms of your relationships is pick good friends. Like there's a great saying, it's so true, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You do become who you hang out with.
And absolutely,
we have to learn to select and deselect good friends. And there's a skill to bringing the right people closer to you and the people who aren't so useful, bless them, just allowing them to drift a little bit further apart.
Simon, you've been great. Thank you ever so much for your wisdom shared in this episode. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Well, friends, that was Simon Jarvis. And you'll know from childhood that when Simon says you should take it on board and do. So, well, listen, take on board what Simon says and take some time in the next few days to consider how you can go grow to live big in the coming days. Well, friends, my next episode is with the brilliant Michelle Cochette. She was on the Joyride podcast. I originally connected with Michelle because I was listening to her as a co-host on another podcast. And then I discovered that we had some connections. And then I discovered that she was speaking at a conference here in the UK. And so I reached out and I met with Michelle. And she's been really supportive and encouraging ever since. But Michelle certainly has a story to share. And that is that Michelle is a full-time author and speaker. Largely writing on the themes of shame and fear, but she's also had cancer three times, cancer of the tongue in particular, which of course made her life and speaking career very difficult. But nonetheless, she is amazing. She remains upbeat, she remains positive, and she remains in a mindset that she's going to continue to make a difference in the lives of others, even and despite the illness that she's faced. So she's going to be speaking on illness and fear and shame. And so be sure to tune in. But in the meantime, my friends, stay well. And of course, keep laughing. See you soon.